What's up, biohackers? I've got to tell you about this delicious drink that I am sipping on. You know we try to eat clean, prioritize pure ingredients, especially when it comes to our protein powder. If we're not intentional with our sourcing, we could be exposed to so many harmful chemicals and toxins that are hidden in what appear to be healthy and nutrient-rich ingredients. This is why I got to tell you about PW1 whey protein powder from Puri. Puri is third-party tested against more than 200 contaminants. It's also free from hormones, GMOs, and pesticides. Bonus, it is soy-free and gluten-free. It has 21 grams of protein per serving, which makes it a really easy way to increase your daily intake, especially for our ladies out there. And what we all want to know when it comes to our nutrition, is it delicious? Yes, it really, truly is. I am drinking it every single morning these days. I've been pretty much drooling over the bourbon vanilla flavored protein powder in my morning nutrition stack. It's great in my coffee, my home-crafted smoothie, and actually works really well just in my shaker bottle with water. These ingredients are so simple. There's no added artificial sweeteners, so none of the bitter, cringy tastes that come along with a lot of healthy powders. It's just pure and so yummy. Puri is pure origin, potency, and peace of mind. They believe in full transparency with all of their products, including their PW1 whey protein powder. And each batch is certified by the Clean Label Project. Okay, but what does that mean? It is tested for heavy metals, bisphenols, residual solvents, and all of the other yucky stuff we do not want in our bodies. Lastly, every Puri product comes with a QR code with those specific batch test results, so you know exactly what you're getting. Of course, we always want to educate and empower you to be your own best health advocate, so don't just take our word for it. With Puri, you can find the real transparent data behind every single batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that we can easily trust. All right, so here's the details. Right now, Puri is offering our listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all of their other incredible products. Go now to our exclusive URL, puri.com/biohackerbabes, and use our promo code biohackerbabes. This will even apply to your already discounted subscriptions, and you'll get almost a third off of the price. They are being so, so generous with our audience. Go to puri.com/biohackerbabes. Do not wait. We have our promo code biohackerbabes at puri.com/biohackerbabes. This is nutrition made oh so simple. All right, biohackers, let's get back to the show.
She helped me move through it as opposed to getting stuck and giving up and, you know, that whole story that we tell ourselves that when we hit a wall, that, oh, I can't do this, you know?
Hey there. Welcome to the Biohacker Babes podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Renee, a certified nutritional consultant with a master's degree in nutrition.
What's up? And I'm Lauren, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and Czech movement specialist. We're sisters and we're joining forces to empower you to become your own biohacker and upgrade your life.
Our mission is to provide actionable steps so you can optimize your health, strengthen your intuition, and support your body's natural healing abilities. Because life is too short to not feel your best every single day.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Welcome to episode 109 of the Biohacker Babes. I am Lauren, recording from Austin. This is the third one here in Austin, Texas. And I'm joined by my sister Renee in Vegas.
Hello. Yes, lots of Austin recordings this time. It's yes. Awesome.
Today's a very special day because we are going to be joined by two amazing women, Laura and Kathy. We cannot wait to introduce them to you. So I think we have been talking a lot more about mindset, spirituality, and tapping into your intuition because it's such a huge piece of the healing puzzle. I think my good friend, Freddie, who actually connected me with Kathy and then Laura, he always says you can't bypass your spiritual bullshit. I think that's hilarious. I think that might be a Jack Cruz thing, but it's just so true. If we're not able to be still and tap into our needs, our desires, you know, our core values, we can have these energy blockages and that really can pose a problem for health challenges. And I think whether you've had a health challenge or whether you're just dealing with anxiety or isolation post-pandemic or during the pandemic, I just think that's really relevant and really topical for everyone. And Kathy and Laura have built
this incredible 12-week online program for empowerment communication. It is for women, and they both have amazing healing stories, and they've been able to create a program that helps other women. I think kind of similar to us, Renee, it was like, we feel like we go through all the weeds, we experience, we try to, you know, see what works, what doesn't work, so that we can give other people the tools and make it just a little bit easier. And Kathy and Laura have really done that. They are just so tapped into their own intuition and have just this a clear communication for helping others to do the same. They're just incredible.
Yeah, they really are like a dynamic duo. I love that they both say, you know, that, you know, Laura brings something to the table, Kathy brings something to the table, but together they're even more powerful. And, you know, we say that a lot on the podcast, I could never do this without you. So I think there's such power in that relationship. And I'm grateful for you and Freddie for introducing me now to Laura and Kathy. Today was my first time meeting them, and I was just blown away by everything that they said. I think I was either smiling or had a jaw drop most of the episode. I already learned so much, and I'm really excited about their 12-week program. And, you know,
I was on the verge of tears like the whole time. My eyes were swelling up.
Yeah. It was either like smiling, crying, surprised. Yeah. Just so many emotions throughout the whole episode. Definitely could have just kept talking to them. And then, you know, of course we hit end recording and we keep talking and we're like, oh, we should have, you know, talked more. But I think you all are just going to absolutely enjoy this episode and learn some really great practical tips that we can start doing, especially during this crazy time we're in.
Very crazy time. And just a little bit of a backstory, how I met Kathy. So our friend, Freddie Kimmel, who runs the Beautifully Broken podcast. He's been on our podcast, amazing individual. I'm staying with him in Austin. He works for AmpCoil, and AmpCoil is the connector here. So Kathy is a part of the AmpCoil family, and they have this barn up in Redding, Connecticut. I stayed there on the grounds. Oh my gosh, their home is just so beautiful. It's like this magical healing grounds, and their family just had a really wild experience, challenge with Lyme disease and autoimmune. And they were able to pull themselves out of that and heal themselves back to optimal health with the AmpCoil. So that's kind of a side note. The AmpCoil is incredible. And that's our connector here. But so they've built this 12-week program. They're going to explain what it is and how it may be for you. I certainly want to sign up for it. And so does Renee. And we invite and encourage any of you that are listening to join us, because I think, wow, it's just another level of healing.
Yeah. It would be great to have more people in the group. We can all grow together.
It'd be accountability great. And I think hashtag better together, right?
Yes. Love it.
So here it's just a little bit more about Laura and Kathy. Then I promise I will stop talking. Reverend Laura Young and Reverend Kathy Willihan are co-founders of Be Loved Now, a growing community of women supporting each other in embodied practice, compassionate communication, and spiritual growth. Be Loved Now offers a 12-week online program of healing and empowerment, a Be Loved graduate immersion year, in-person workshops, and annual retreats in Costa Rica. All of the Be Loved Now offerings are grounded in embodied practice of the 12 guiding spiritual principles. Practices include meditation, journaling, compassionate communication techniques, breath work, co-listening, and ritual ceremony for trauma recovery and transformation. These being practices are emotional fluidity tools to live in alignment with core soul values for a passionately engaged life. Their work together is a rich coalescence of decades of education, training, and lived experience, guiding hundreds of people home to their hearts and their own blessed knowing. They are both ordained interfaith, interspiritual ministers with a focus on spiritual counseling. ERYT, that's Registered Yoga Teacher 500, trained teachers of yoga and meditation, and independent AmpCoil ambassadors, amplifying wellness and support through chronic illness. Oh, I love that part about bringing people home to their hearts. I think you are going to feel that, see that, and really, really love their energy very much.
Yeah, my heart feels very full after today's recording. All right, let's bring Laura and Kathy on.
Welcome, Laura. Welcome, Kathy, to the Biohacker Views podcast. We're so thrilled to be chatting with you today. This foursome is awesome, and your background is so beautiful. Welcome. How are you?
It's a beautiful day to be here and to be with you guys. We really appreciate the invite to be on, and we're super excited to be here. Thank you, Lauren, and thank you, Renee.
Yeah, grateful to be present.
So this is so fun to have four women on the call together. Renee and I co-create, you two co-create. You've created this amazing 12-week online empowerment and healing program. And you both have incredible stories of how you even reached this point to heal yourselves and to heal others. But I think I'm a little bit fascinated in this moment about how, as women, we can co-create and help each other in this. I'm not sure what you would use as like a teamwork framework. So how do you come together and co-create, and how does that help your mission?
Well, it does sort of relate to how we came together over time.
Yeah.
We found that it was always better together. And that was a process, right? It was a process.
It was a process that enriched us both and enriched the teaching that we were doing at the time, and ultimately benefited the women that we were working with. You know, we started collaborating and co-teaching together as yoga and meditation teachers, you know, over a decade ago. And Kathy owned a yoga studio, Open Sky Yoga Barn in Redding, Connecticut. And I came in and asked her if I could collaborate with her. And that began really the deepening of our relationship. We found that in this process of collaborating and co-creating, that bigger magic was happening. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just Kathy. It was the third thing. It was the two of us coming together to create something bigger, not just for ourselves, but for other people as well.
That's really beautiful. And I mean, we all need to hear that, especially after the pandemic of spending so much time alone. Connection is such a huge thing. And I would like to get into that shortly, but I would love to hear a little bit about each of your stories that sort of informed where you came from, how you got here.
My background is, you know, I grew up in a family where my mother was incredibly spiritual. I had yogis from India coming and sitting in meditation in my house as a young girl. So I was exposed to that. She was part of the Meditation on the Mount in Ojai, California. So that I walked in that. And then in my later years, found yoga, was always a seeker. Then I got sick with Lyme. And I don't know how long I had Lyme, probably as a kid. I grew up on the North Shore of Long Island. But I got very sick with my first pregnancy, and I have three children. And what happened was many, many years of dealing with chronic illness and trying to find both allopathic and holistic means for healing, which was an entire journey unto itself. So I would say like a 24-year journey. My oldest is 24. And we went everywhere. I mean, we did everything. We went to Lyme literate doctors. We went over to Switzerland to Paracelsus Clinic. We have tried so many things. And ultimately, it was when we found the AMP coil that everything shifted for my family in such a big way. And right at that time, we were collaborating together. We went to seminary. We became interfaith, interspiritual ministers. We had been practicing yoga forever, teaching yoga. And we were together, and we led a group of people through a Lyme to Wellness program, pilot program, volunteering our time with 12 individuals with chronic Lyme. And it was in that program that we found ourselves spiritual counseling everyone and how important the emotional spiritual was to the physical healing.
Yeah. You know, I would say ditto on all of that. I love the way you just said all of that. Is there anything more you want to say in your short and sweet
version? We just started kind of doing it. The Be Love Now program, it was like real time. It was literally like us sitting with people and talking with them and counseling and talking about meditation, talking about EFT tapping, talking about breath work, but leading them in embodied practice, because that was the key for us, was the embodied practice. And I think the Swamp Sister, I'll leave you off with this sort of Swamp Sister piece, but we were in a 500-hour teacher training for yoga, and we had to do 60-day sadhana practice, which, you know, it's consistent spiritual practice, asana, meditation, we're chanters,
and
we're breath work.
And we had both had young children, and so we found that the only time we could carve out for our practice was to get up super early in the morning. And there were days when we would drag ourselves out of bed and light a candle and get on our mat at 5:30, because we knew that right around the corner, because we lived a couple miles away from each other, that I knew that Kathy was doing the same thing. So even though I came up
accountability.
Against, so even though I came up against like serious resistance at about day 31, I could call Kathy, I could share my experience with her. And there was that experience of being witnessed in my resistance that really made all of the difference, because she helped me move through it, as opposed to getting stuck and giving up. And, you know, that whole story that we tell ourselves that when we hit a wall, that, oh, I can't do this, you know?
And then that was part of also why we decided with the Be Loved Now, because the relationship that we have is so beautiful and it's so incredibly inspiring. And we keep showing up and skilling up and leveling up because that's who we both are. We have tremendous growth mindset. Yeah. So in that spiritual realm, what we found was that it was the bypassing and the process skipping occurs when you're not embodied.
Right.
When you're not bringing it in and through the body. And we keep each other accountable in that way. And then that's what we were like, how can we create a program where we can like share this with other women?
Right. They take everything that we know, take all of the practices that we've learned in yoga and meditation, practices based on Kathy's journey through serious illness, through my journey with addiction and earlier recovery from family dynamics that had sexual abuse and trauma in them. You know, like, how do you recover from all that? You learn tools along the way. So how do we bring all of that experience in together, the yoga, the meditation, the interfaith, interspiritual ministry program that we went to, and create a vehicle, a program that we can use to help other women heal and transform their lives? And it's that daily, steady, embodied practice, which seems like so simple. It was a way for us to really find a way to make this as accessible and relatable as possible, so that everyone could have the experience that, you know, taking everything that we learn and coalescing it into this new thing.
Which is really about staying with yourself with love.
It really gets very simple.
That's the simple part. Right. And everyone deserves that, right?
It's like the relationship that you have with yourself and source. Mm-hmm. What is that?
All right. So we're going to figure out how everyone that's listening can get to where you are, because that is an amazing, amazing place to be.
Yeah. If I can just jump in. I think what you were saying about Lyme, a lot of that really resonates with me, because I spent 7 years working at our father's biological dental practice in Maryland. And we would see so many Lyme patients. I mean, especially being, you know, on the East Coast where Lyme is pretty rampant, but so often I would see these patients that had seen 20 practitioners, like very similar to your story. They'd been all around the US, maybe left the country. They come in with their grocery bag of supplements, and I'm there to coach them with the nutrition piece. But I'm like, the nutrition is like such a small sliver. I think what you are doing was the missing piece for so many of these people. So I'm grateful that you went through that and experienced that and grew from it. I think you are going to be able to help so many people. And I also selfishly wish I knew about what you were doing back then, but I think going forward.
Yeah. We've really been talking a lot about mindset and spirituality on the podcast. We really have been pushing more in that direction, because that is the missing piece. And I see that with clients. I'm almost like, I'm not qualified, because I could do the nutrition and the fitness and the lab testing, like Renee said, but there's this whole other piece. So what do you see in health? Like, how is this a lack of spiritual connection or lack of inner knowing? How is that affecting our health, and how is it expressing itself either physically, biologically? What are you seeing?
It's everything. Yeah. Look, trauma is like the big word right now, right? So we've got big,
very popular.
We had part of that somatic experiencing, right? We, in our training as ministers, and what we find is that sitting with ourselves on a continuous basis, like, you know, and I'm not saying like, oh, if you miss a day, everything's lost. I'm just simply, what we've experienced is that we've now been meditating really for like 40 years consistently. And in the practice that we have created, since we have been doing the Be Loved Now program, our lives have shifted dramatically.
Dramatically.
And so when you have that container and you continue to practice, it's like the container just keeps growing so that you can hold more and more discomfort and uncertainty. And the more we can allow ourselves to feel into and experience and move through, we call it emotional fluidity.
Yeah.
The more joy, it's like, it's both ends of the spectrum. You just increase your capacity to hold all of it, to lean more into joy, to mm-hmm. experience the grief.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a short, really quick story. So my dad has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And on last Saturday, I helped my stepmom move him into a memory care center. And it's heartbreaking. And there's been so much grief on my part, on both of our parts, all along the way. And I was sitting, that was Saturday, and I really had to hold it together and to really support the process, you know, to be there present for my father.
And your stepmom.
And my stepmom, who was very having a very difficult day. And so I allowed myself, Sunday was the day where it really the grief really hit me hard. And I allowed myself to just have the space and time to sit with myself, to allow myself to weep and allow the energy to move through me, to journal about it. So that was Sunday. On Monday morning, I woke up and I was feeling pretty flat and dull. Like I had just done a bunch of grieving. You know, I'm like, oh, I know the grief is there beneath the surface, but I'm not really feeling it right now. And then I watched the clip of Jade Carey, the Olympic gymnast, win the gold medal on her floor routine. And her performance was so breathtakingly beautiful that I just found myself, like, I just split wide open and started weeping again, but it was in joy. And the difference now for me in moving through grief as opposed to 3 years ago, before we were doing this Be Loved Now program, I lost a very dear friend. He was 50 something years old. He died unexpectedly. I've known him my whole life. And I went dark. I felt like the grief had taken over my life to an extent where everything else felt dead to me. And my experience with my dad and being in the steady embodied practice on a regular basis is that my container has grown wider and wider and wider, and I can hold the immensity of all of it, the grief and the beauty, the sadness, the trickles of irritation and anger and denial, you know, like all of the many, many different flavors of the day. And I don't feel dead to life. I am experiencing deep grief.
But you're alive.
But I am
very much alive.
Fully alive. And that's a really phenomenal experience to be able to have.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear about your dad.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, that's a hard, really hard thing to go through.
Yeah.
I really love the analogy about the container, because so many times, you know, physically, nutrition-wise, you know, we talk about hormesis a lot on the show with biohacking. It's like going to that point of discomfort. And I've always pictured being like on the edge of a cliff, or maybe mm-hmm. there's a wall there and you're going to push it back a little bit. This now I'm envisioning just like the space and the support yeah. rather than the resistance. And I think even just mentally, that just shifted big time for me in my brain. I really like that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm excited to keep learning from both of you about dealing with so many things, especially grief. I have personally felt like I don't deal with that well. And I know there's so many people that feel that way. Personally, I lost my older cat a couple months ago. And I know some people are like, oh, it's just a pet. But my husband and I don't have kids and we work from home. I'm like, my two cats are my kids. And I experienced that. I felt like dead to the world for a couple of weeks. I was like, I don't really want to do anything else. So just wanted to share that. I know it's so hard, but I'm excited to learn more from you and help others through that. I think that's so important.
Hey, four leggeds are family, man.
That's yeah, they yes. are family.
There's no ego. It's unconditional love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how do we work through that? And I know a lot of loss has happened in this past year, but also just so much isolation. I think people don't know how to get out of that or start to expand their container. And so many people say, I'm not good at meditation, not good at breath work. So other than enrolling in your program, which we're going to get to, which I think is a really, really powerful tool, what other actionable advice or where did you start that maybe helped you to find some consistency other than the accountability between the two of you, which is a fabulous tool?
I think for me, I'll say, part of my short and sweet story is that, you know, I came from a family that was not present, as opposed to Kathy having been exposed to spiritual practice. I came from a family that bore the legacies of alcoholism and addiction and abuse. right? So in my family, we pretended everything was fine and that everything was okay, right? And it just led to not being able to understand how I felt or what I needed, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody stayed quiet. Nobody spoke up. So there was abuse, there was addiction. And I spent years medicating myself. You know, I left home, I went to college, I dropped out of college, I went to India. Like I was looking and searching. And it wasn't until I really, truly, I had a yoga practice, I had a little bit of a meditation practice, but it wasn't until I actually got sober in a 12-step program that I was introduced to meditation, like on a very serious, like, this is what you need to do. I was told that for myself, that for a lot of people, they could just stop drinking. For me, I needed to expand my spiritual heart. And that was the best advice anyone had given me. And that was 6 months into my sobriety. And so I started looking. I got involved in a serious yoga practice. I was involved and exposed to breath work and yogic philosophy. And I started a meditation practice. So for me, I came in kind of like through the side door. It wasn't something that was intuitive for me until I started doing it. And then I had a supportive community that helped me stay steady in it.
And that's key.
Yeah.
It's really key to have a community where you feel supported and you have a sense of accountability around it. I think the missing piece, and it's not necessarily missing, but I think it's, you know, we're always adding, right? And deepening. We deepen into growth and practice.
Yeah.
And
we remove the layers that are obscuring us that from that unencumbered spot of grace that's at the very core of our beings. It's not like we're chasing it. It's always been
there. It's always there.
Yeah.
It's just that it's been covered over by layers of acculturation and conditioning and societal demands and, you know, on and on and on.
Like you think of biohacking, right? You're going to do things. I mean, you know, we use red light. We have foot bath, Amcor.
Stem cell sauna, patches. You know,
like all the goodies. Yeah. All the toys.
We're kind of adolescents in it, but we're totally gay. You know, I mean, we're going to, she's creating a, like a, literally like a, we're calling it now, not a yoga studio, but a biohacking studio. Like we're going to put like, you know, a pole too.
Going to strip a pole, the whole thing.
So, oh yes.
Perfect.
Dance and play.
Have you seen the movie? Strip Down, Rise Up.
No, but I'm gonna put that on my list.
Super good Netflix.
Sheila Kelly.
Yeah.
The S Factor. She runs programs across the United States, but it's following her and students through a 6-month journey from total body shame and hatred to embracing, because it's all about embracing
the truth of who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I want to watch that.
It's phenomenal. You should definitely queue it up. I think it's on Netflix.
Yep, it is.
Yeah.
But say the name one more time.
Strip Down.
Strip Down, Rise Up.
Awesome. I
love it. It's so good.
So good.
What I was kind of going with that was answering, I don't know if we said this before we started recording, but we were chatting. And, you know, you guys were saying something along the lines of, you know, here you do all this wellness and biohacking, and then yet this sort of emotional spiritual component is also so important.
And you notice that it needs to be incorporated.
And this is what we find. And this is what I tell people all the time, like with the AmCoil, like the AmCoil can bring you like 70-80% of the way. But if you don't deal with that underlying emotional stuff and learn how to move that energy.
Because it's all just energy.
It's not the feelings, not who you are.
The emotions. The emotions are meant to move through you, and they're information. We don't are supposed to stick in you and, you know, lodge themselves in you and dictate how you interact in the world and how you frame how you see yourself.
Because a lot of time that then becomes illness that then has to be treated, right? So what we found as a game changer, and I was introduced to nonviolent communication years ago, which then I incorporated into what we call compassionate communication, is this practice of identifying your feelings around any charged subject. It can be something you're struggling with, like the pandemic, anything. It could be the thought, I can't meditate. I'm never going to learn to meditate. And what feelings that causes for you when you think of it or loop around it. And then looking at what needs.
What are the underlying needs that are either being met or not met?
So in relationship, if you have a really positive relationship, the feelings are going to be in that sort of ecstatic, joyful, nurturing, content portion of the feelings, and some needs are being met of like deep connection and, you know, probably in that spiritual realm. Right. But there's a whole range of feelings, and most people, ourselves included, were not taught growing up
how to articulate how to articulate how I'm feeling at any given moment.
I see that a lot. We either assume or we don't know how to say it. I've seen this in my own relationship. Just give you an example. It's like, are you going to be done work? Are you going to put that work down? Rather than saying, hey, I would love to spend quality time with you. Do you mind putting that down? That would be a need rather than just saying like, ah.
And you're staying with you.
And you're staying with you as opposed to this projecting that always is going on, making assumptions about what the other person is thinking or feeling. We stay with ourselves. Mm. I feel this. Mm-hmm. I feel this, this, and this because I have a need for this, this, and this.
Mm. It's simple and profound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's, I think that would be that other piece of what we do, mm-hmm. that we feel that's an embodied practice because we lead people through meditation, right? Through even just sessions, you know, you guys might call it coaching, we call it counseling, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's that we sit with you and we witness you. Mm-hmm. We don't see you as broken, right? We just see veils and layers, right? And then we just help to remove this and remove that by inviting you in to listen to the truth of who you are, that inner mm-hmm. knowing. And part of that is being in touch with how you feel and what you need, because if you don't know that, you cannot possibly get in touch with what your core soul values are.
And this is the piece where daily practice or regular practice is so important, because when you do feelings and needs on a regular basis, you start to realize that, hey, my feelings can change around a lot, of course, because emotions, energy, it's moving, but the needs, they're pretty much the same. And so you suddenly start realizing that, hey, I actually do have this sense of what I need on a regular basis.
And that's the same as core values.
They're very much related.
They're very much related. What I was going to say about the needs is that it's the beginning of creating a sense of safety and trust within ourselves by really checking in on a regular basis with how I feel, what I need, getting a sense of what's okay and what's not okay. How do I meet myself where I am? Right. And it's from that practice that we start really being able to see the connection to what the underlying soul, you know, core soul needs are, the values themselves.
Right. The needs are like they point the way into the values. Yeah. And some needs are the same as values. But the thing is once we align with our values, we line up, we start making decisions in our life based on those. It's like, we're sort of like, so freedom is a high value of mine. Like it's just a high core soul value. It might change over time, but it's big, right? And growth. So for me, it's like, I can't apologize for that. Like, that's just, you know, when I line up with that, I'm grooving.
Right.
And I feel really good and in alignment when I deny that aspect of myself to maybe make somebody else feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Doesn't go so well. Mm. Right.
And for me as well, you know, I have come to understand that my core soul values are trust, growth, passion, and joy. And so whenever situation I'm in, and I've just come off of a long-term relationship that ended, I was went through a mediation and divorce. And all along the way, I was steered by these values.
Like, and everything lined up.
Everything lined up. The whole process went boom, 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 because I was so clear about how I felt, what I needed, and what the underlying values were on how I wanted to continue to steer my life.
Yeah. I did some work with Sean Croxton a few years ago. I don't know if you know that name, but all about figuring out your core values. And this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I was literally pen and paper, writing it out, thinking it out, creating my perfect day, and just putting that out there. Within 2 years, everything I wanted that came to fruition just by tapping into my core values and what I really needed or wanted in life. It's just kind of cool to see things play out like that.
Fascinating. Yeah.
It's
right?
powerful. And it's always evolving and changing.
Sure. It's not like based on, like set
right.
Never be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
That there's periods and phases in our lives where some things are of the priority, and then it changes and it becomes something else. So again, this regular daily practice of
helps you to stay present to the miracle of the life that you're already living. I mean, that's right. Really,
yeah. Which is about a real, about like loving the life you have as opposed to, you know, wanting it to be different.
Right. Mm. The whole, I'll be happy when.
Exactly.
Statement. Yeah. That's a really common thing. So maybe we can take a step back just to generalize things. Like, what is spirituality? Like, what does that mean to you? Because I guess there's no perfect one definition of what that means. What does that mean to you?
For me, it's really simple. It's about bringing spirit into matter. You know, because what I see, there's so much going on in that space mm-hmm. in our world, right? And mm-hmm. we've experienced many different spiritual communities. Like she lived in an ashram, and we've been in yoga communities, and they always seem to, in some one way or another, the ego takes over, power corrupts, and there's disappointment, right?
Yeah.
And so what we find, what we have found is that by embodying these principles, we call them the guiding spiritual principles, mm-hmm. that they're universal principles. So another way that you can sort of experience that is through 12 step, but our right. lens is a very spiritual lens. And you find those principles in all wisdom traditions,
right?
Religions, right? Native peoples, practices. And when we practice these things, and when we say practice, we're talking about embodied practice. So whether you're doing a yoga practice or a breath practice or a meditation practice,
or journaling practice,
it's in and through the body. That spirituality, when we don't connect it to this, it's about it. It can be, it's not every time, but it can really be about escape. It's just it can be another drug, another addiction, another way to leave your body, to not have to be here now. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And we have practiced all different kinds of meditation. And one of the more classical yogic meditations is really very much about this is a problem.
This is a problem. And so I'm going to get out of here
and try to get
somewhere else.
My chakra. Right.
Yeah. Cause that's safer.
Right. And it's very much similar to like, are you going to use ayahuasca as a tool for spiritual growth, which would be sort of like you're not doing it on a regular basis, right? But the medicine is a teacher mm-hmm. and it informs your life over time. You see, it's very much like that.
Or using it recreationally.
Right. It's, so your what are all your biohacking tools for? Ultimately, right? You want to live longer, probably a fuller life, to be here, to experience the fullness and the joy of being human.
And I guess, you know, we come back to talking about spirituality. And one of the things about the daily embodied practice is that we begin to understand and identify and understand that our belief systems, how we think, create our reality.
Sure.
Right. And so there's a piece of knowing yourself that's really important, I think, for us to talk about. And we've talked about it already, but it keeps coming back to being present. And I think for me, the spirituality is about being present to all that is and embracing it. I mean, that's radical acceptance right there.
Mm-hmm. The yuck and the muck of it too.
So hard to do.
It takes us back to that part, that conversation that I shared about my dad, you know, and that the grief. And the joy, you know, it's like, can you hold it? How much of it can you hold? Can you hold it all? Can you have that immense experience? I mean, the spirituality, I think for me also, it's about, again, bringing it into my body. And so that I can then be present in my life, not for myself, but for other people, and bringing it through like that. It's not just about me. It's mm-hmm. about understanding that I'm in this with everyone else, that we're all in this together, right?
Better together.
Yeah. Kathy and I were talking yesterday. We have a yoga philosophy teacher who used to say, there's this teaching, and it goes from isolation to oneness. And it goes like this: I'm nothing like you. I'm something like you. I'm nothing but you.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we bring people over the 12 weeks. You know, the program starts in honesty and ends in joy.
Yep.
And each day there's a new quote or reading from interfaith, interspiritual. We bring in all different perspectives, you know, Buddhist, Christian, we bring in Islam, we bring in Native, we bring in the Course in Miracles, you know, we bring in, you know, we bring in poets.
Yeah.
So like during that week of honesty, you're going to get all different perspectives of honesty. And then we digest it. And then we have some journal prompts and you write about your experience of honesty and how it lands for you in your body, in your experience. Mm-hmm. And over time, when you do that with each of the principles, there is this, and then you're sharing and you're having an experience of other people sharing their experience. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I'm nothing but anybody really, you know, because we isolate ourselves. Yeah. We think it's just us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet once you start to, you know, shame loves secrecy. Yeah. So when you allow yourself to be vulnerable in a safe space, all of a sudden it's, oh man, I am not alone.
And I am not alone. And I'm inspired by everyone else's courage in walking this earth walk. You know,
that's beautiful.
That feels really topical right now. Renee and I were just talking before we got on. I mean, I think everyone had their experience of isolation in this past year. I feel like I know we're not alone in this, but we felt it in maybe a different way than what was popular and common, whereas what community and tribe we thought we had ended up being something completely different. What are the tools to recalibrate? Or is it just pen to paper, that honesty? Is that always the first step?
That's for me, that's always it. How do I feel? What do I need? What's really going on for me right now?
What's really going on? Yeah.
What do I need? And I think when it comes to, you know, we've been really talking about relationship recently. And what it really comes down to for me is to really understand what are the threads of vibrancy that I want to nourish with the people that I choose to spend my life with, whether it's relationships in my inner circle of intimacy or the next layer out or the next layer out. You know, how do we keep these things alive? And I think that is part of the question that you were asking when you were talking about a community that you thought you had that turned out to be something completely different and probably just at least disappointing, if not more so.
Absolutely. I think
so many people in this last year have encountered such deep despair over things that they feel like they've lost or things that they thought that they had and didn't realize that they never did have.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing that Penn did was it exposed because it simplified a lot of things. It made other things more complicated, but when we are distracted, right? So the opposite of spiritual practice is distraction, non-presence. So most of us go out in the world and we are distracted. You know, we go to work and then we're running around and we go to the gym and then we did it and we're picking up this kid or we're going to that thing.
We've got something every hour of the day.
Right. And then, you know, your life sort of passes you by and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm 50 or whatever. Or the kids are all grown. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
And that's the opposite of spiritual practice. So what happens in spiritual practice is when we talk about that container, it's like there's actually no regret or very little regret because we keep deepening into the experience that we're having.
Of being present to the life that we have.
And so there are all of these rich moments that are always happening, but half the time we're missing them. So the pandemic was that opportunity where everything slowed down and everybody had to sit with themselves and most of the people freaked out. Yeah. Because it was like, OMG,
right?
Yeah. I actually don't know what it's like to sit with myself in silence and my mind is monkeying around. And I would say that it's not just being committed to the practice, because I know a lot of like long, long-term meditators that have no sense of spiritual community around it.
Right.
And I think that that's also really important because once we established that with each other, we can be really like, we'll just say like, like the, I'll be totally raw and honest. Like the other night I was driving home, it was really late. We had a rough family night, you know, and I'm driving home, coming back from Long Island. It's really late. I didn't want to be on the road that late. I don't like driving at night. And there I am. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling so tired and it's kind of despairing, like after what just went down.
Because it had been a repeat of dynamics
that had happened in this relationship. And all of a sudden I had that thought of like, well, if a truck just crossed over the median, you know, and like, I'm kind of good, like, you know, and it was real and I wouldn't do any, you know, I'm not suicidal or anything, but it was that sort of moment of like, yeah, I'm really tired. Like if I was taken out, I guess it would really be okay right in this moment. That's how I felt. Okay. Now I know that you two have probably had those feelings, but probably don't talk very much about them. And what we have found is that when we allow ourselves to say, I gotta own up something. Right. I gotta clear something. And we just speak it. Yeah. What happens is like, all of a sudden we stop taking ourselves so damn seriously.
We're able to get a little bit of space from it.
And it's
so that there's an objectivity that we can almost become witness to our own experience. That how we feel and what we're thinking,
it's not who we are.
Is not, we think that that's all there is. The person I see in the mirror, how I feel and what I think is all of who I am. Well, guess what? That's not at all.
Right.
That's not at all everything about me.
So when you're in relationship, and so our We Love Now community is built upon this compassionate communication. So once you're a graduate, we have monthly calls, and then on the calls, we practice. So we go out, we break out into rooms, you do feelings and needs with your partner, you journal around it. So it's like we keep coming back to practicing. And what happens is it's powerful because our soul is literally, our shy souls are just longing for that kind of deep connection.
Dying,
but there
out.
Aren't real spaces for it. What we found in spiritual community was sort of like, it was not real. There was an aspect of it that was sort of like surface.
Yep.
And then whenever the like rubber hit the road or shit got real, people bailed.
Right.
Or they couldn't handle holding space for people who were suffering.
Right.
And that is really when the Be Loved Now program and what we're doing is building that container of being able to sit with our own suffering. Because when we can sit with our own discomfort, uncertainty, and all of that, which is really like ultimately around the fear of death. So when you can sit in that space, all of a sudden, your capacity to be able to sit with others grows. And that's what our graduates tell us. Like, oh my God, I was able to be there for my, you know, and I never could have done that before.
Right. And that is like the heart of like radical acceptance and fierce compassion. And which are ultimately the working qualities of love.
I've seen that so much where a friend or acquaintance is going through someone and I've been the other person and I've seen other people be the other person where they're like, self-preservation, I can't handle that. They're going through something. And now I see, oh, wow, it's this person that has to deal with their own stuff, just like you said, to make space for it.
Right. Well, because when we haven't really allowed our trauma to feel and to move past and get the support that we need to move into like trauma recovery, trauma growth, we can't get to trauma transformation unless we're witnessed.
Right. We can't do it by ourselves.
So
because normally so the trauma has happened and we've kept quiet about it.
So like you're in therapy and you're working with like a somatic experience, there are experiences that can get you so far. That's a great step or a rapid eye, you know, and all that stuff. But ultimately, when you start to broaden your perspective and community and allow other people, not just one, not just two, but more people to witness you in your truth.
In a safe space.
It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, and it moves into a place of transformation.
And it really amplifies the experience. Yeah. It amplifies wellness. Yeah.
Oh, it's just magical to me. So this is really interesting timing because just this morning, friends of mine and my husband, they just lost their dog to cancer 2 days ago. And the wife is really, really grieving. She's like me, like us, like big animal lover. And her husband is like, the dog was old. You knew he was going to pass. Like, why are you so upset?
And I was saying to her that that's him. Like you do you, but like, I think exactly what you just said, he doesn't have that space to be there to support her. It's hard to say, like, I think you need to work on you for him, but right. You know, it's like, it's not you, you got to do you and right. not worry about him, but it's hard to watch that.
Yeah. We all have different beliefs, but you shouldn't shame someone else for not believing the same.
And people, you know, based on acculturation and conditioning and family experience, the dynamics of childhood, people need different amounts of time to process.
Right.
We've gotten to the point where we can pretty much process real time. We're pretty close to real time, but that's a skill. I'm not patting ourselves on the back saying, oh, we're so great. I'm just like, it's happened over time.
Well, and it's a willingness to go
it's
through.
It's a willingness to be uncomfortable, a willingness to have hard conversations.
So like
a willingness to be honest.
And like, so in a situation like that, just to make this very practical around what we do.
Yeah.
So your friends, what we do is help teach the tools in which to communicate around difficult situations mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. For your friend to be able to sit with herself and understand how she feels when her husband or partner or whatever it is says that to her.
To basically get over it.
Right? Yeah. Like, you know, just, hey, I mean, what's the big deal? We knew about this, right? So what does that do in the moment when she hears it? So for her to move through her feelings mm-hmm. around it, because at the end of the day, that's all she can do. She can't do him.
Yeah.
And so
right.
we call it staying in your own lane.
So when you move through that, even if she doesn't share it with him, right? So what we have found is profound healing happening, even just by understanding the feelings and the needs around something in a relationship that maybe you don't share, but maybe you find the courage to share. And what usually happens if the person is at all open, right? And wanting to maybe go deeper in relationship with that person, they're able to at least stay present and acknowledge that person's feelings. If they're really not in that space, they'll take it personally. But if you, and then you go, okay, that's you. I'm just talking about my feelings, because we never use the word you.
It's always taking responsibility.
When I heard you say that we've known about this, he's old, right? I felt disheartened, sad, and dismissed because I have a need for being heard,
emotional
intimacy and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave it at that, or you could say, would you be willing to mirror back to me what you heard me say? Because a lot of times the miscommunication is actually in the translation. And then you just could have that conversation where that person's like, oh, well, what I heard you say was, and you can fine tune it. Well, actually, I said dismayed, you know, when they said the wrong feeling or whatever, but you can just start to bridge communication around staying with yourself.
Staying with
love.
Yourself. It's really, really powerful. And it's actually very simple, but it's about really, truly listening to each other. You know, the Vietnamese monk Thich Nhat Hanh says that listening deeply is love. Attention is love.
Your presence is love.
Because it's
the greatest gift you can give someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel that just, you know, having dinner with my husband and putting our phones away and just like that is love to me. Just really communicating and having no distractions. I think that is a great gift to yourself and to others.
That's beautiful, Renee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like being present is so difficult because our society is very masculine dominant in its energy, right? Isn't like technology, forward motion is all masculine, where like earth nature is feminine. So even women don't have a lot of feminine energy and we're always like thinking into the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do we nourish? I'm a little bit fascinated with this right now because I've noticed in the last year, like I have this whole energy thing. Like my masculine side is like totally freaking out. How do we nourish the other side? How do we come back and find balance?
Well, it's interesting because would you say, Lauren, that you're very disciplined?
That's an interesting word. I'll to make it easy. Yes.
Okay. So just like to keep it disciplined. So if you're disciplined, it's about taking that same capacity that you have and just redirecting it in another way to create space for yourself, to be with yourself. There's this very short form of checking in, and it really is feelings and needs, but it's in a little bit of a different way. And I started doing this a bunch of years ago when I was sponsoring another woman, when I was sponsoring other women in the 12-step program, is that I taught them, because I was doing this with myself, I taught people how to speak to themselves as if they were their own best friend and check in. Like I would always model, and I'll do this, you know, here's my vulnerability, place a hand on my heart and look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, dear one, hey, love, how are you today? How do you feel? Are you thirsty? Would you like a glass of water? Are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? Are you sleepy? Do you need to nap? Or do you feel like you need to get outside and get some air, fresh air and movement? Knowing that each question, there's a pause, and I feel it's a visceral process of kind of moving through. And it sounds super simple. Mm-hmm. It's probably something you could do with children, but there's something really sweet about taking a moment or two, checking in on some very basic needs, physical needs, that helps get you into your body and create, and like just that listening for the response, it just brings you into the present moment. And that, and that can be a doorway in for a lot of people to creating a little bit of space to just check in with themselves. You know, we talk about, you know, masculine rigidity and then the feminine fluidity. And that's really the beginning for me. It's like checking in and being at home in my own presence, in my own body, in my own claiming my space.
I think that's that's a very big one for women, especially, is being willing to claim their space.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that's a huge thing. And the other thing is that in that what you were speaking about just a minute ago that Laura was answering, there is also, I think, and this is like, these are subtleties and nuances, but it's happening all the time, because when we're not communicating consciously and compassionately, there's a lot that's going on that's not said. So what we find is that by allowing space to practice feelings and needs in with each other, with ourselves, with community, it's like you're working a muscle, just like you do an exercise, right? You do that, you do a practice to get better at it. In normal communication, and especially from, I think, the masculine perspective of that forward moving, our society is kind of built on like not staying in the present. And so when someone is speaking, a lot of times the other person listening is not actually listening. They're already formulating a response.
Three steps ahead.
Yeah, and that does not create connection. That does not create, I'm not really listening, like, you know, to what you're saying about your friend and the dog. If I'm really listening to what you're saying, I enter into your experience and I pause. So when you were speaking about that, what came up for me, of course, is the experience I had with my dog. So immediately I'm like, oh, I get that. I'm feeling that. I know that, right? Before I go to any like, well, what's going to be my answer to her question?
Or how can I make it my answer sound better than, you know?
So right. I think that's right. So important what you're saying, Lauren, is because that's what embodied practice is about. It's about staying present with ourselves to be able to hear our intuition, our inner knowing. Most of us don't even have a clue.
And so if we are in this practice of doing that, we respond from our own truth and our own heart. Right? We're not in reaction based on what the other person has said.
And we're not afraid to pause. You know, one of the things we say all the time to people we work with is, you know, you can say, let me take a moment.
Yeah. Let me think about that.
I don't know how I feel about that, actually. You know, when you say that to men, they're like, what?
Let me think about that and get back to you.
I experienced that the other day. There was a freak out. I was like, I just need a minute.
I'm not sure. I'll get back to you later today.
Or whatever you need.
Oh, that makes people panic.
You know, it doesn't occur to a lot of people, most people, that they actually have
a choice,
the power to make their own choice about around how they want to respond. Mm. It doesn't have to be a knee-jerk reaction in the moment.
So funny though, our society has conditioned us to just fill and be busy. And I was listening to Amy Poehler on a podcast, and when she was on SNL and Christopher Walken was the guest, they were doing a scene together, and then they had to pause because the camera guys had to work out some tech thing. And she was sitting there with him, and Christopher Walken was just like dead silent. And Amy Poehler was freaking out because she was like, I don't know what to do. Like, he's quiet. Like, what's going to happen? She had this whole inner monologue panicking, like, that's so cool. Wait, I'm mad. Like, just thoughts going a mile a minute. Because she's just used to filling the space. I'm not saying her experience is alone. Like, we all have experienced that a million times.
Yeah.
And that's something that we really learned in seminary.
It's almost like
we can sit in silence with each other. Mm-hmm. And on our calls, like our Zoom calls with the Be Loved Now program, we'll sit for minutes. People will open it up and for sharing. And we just say, we're okay with silence. And it allows other people to sit with themselves and be okay. Like, oh, silence is okay. We can all just sit here in silence. Yeah, we can spend the next 10 minutes in silence. We're super comfortable.
We're really good. In fact, let's all enter into space together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the practice does. Mm-hmm. That's what the steady practice does. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say that's really unique about our program is one of the things that we loved about going to seminary was we write our own vows.
And at the end of the Be Loved Now program.
But we did it in seminary and we were ordained, and you speak your vows in a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. And we came out of that, and the vows were so powerful for us that we say our vows every day. And then we said, well, why can't everybody just make a vow to themselves? Because it's to yourself and source in you as you, right? Which only you can do.
to honor the things that matter most to you.
So we guide and help all of our participants write their own vows that they speak daily. And that is a profound process. And we have experienced, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And then everybody speaks their vows in the graduation ceremony, and we are just continuously blown away.
It's aww, such a beautiful, sacred time together.
That's amazing.
Witness each other in saying everyone's saying their vows, one after the other, after the other, no filler, just beauty, clear. beauty that's being offered.
So who is this program for?
Well, we like to say for women ages 18 to 88 and beyond. It's pretty simple.
We've had 19.
Yeah. We've had
19 years old.
19 years old and
86
in the same cohort, which is pretty crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And that intergenerational thing is actually one of the things I love most about it.
It's very enriching.
It's not just a bunch of 50-year-old women. it's like you get all these, women. There's women with young kids. There's women in college. There's women in their 20s making their mark, like they're starting out. And then you have women who are companioning, a husband with Alzheimer's or like, it's just like the full gamut.
I think the last program that we ran, we had at least one woman for every decade.
Yeah.
From below 20 to over 8.
So cool. All walks of life. That's great.
Yeah.
And what does the commitment look like?
And we're beginning to expand our diversity as well. So that's a really important piece to us.
Mm-hmm. We have scholarships for women of color. We always take two younger students, and help them with scholarship. We have a really generous donor a graduate who was like, this is the most amazing thing. I want to make it more available. So we parcel out some money so that we can allow other people to come in, so it's a pretty awesome thing. And we aren't, and here's the last thing, we're not going to ever can this thing. We're not going to record it. It's not going to be a web, it is real time. And that is the beauty of what we do. And
because we can tailor it to who is right in front of us in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And that's the juice.
That's the juice.
Juice and the power. And so that's why we only take 20, and we'll probably start taking just a few more because we've got it down now. But it's that is so important to us because it's about being present. So it is real time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So for our audience that is listening, can you tell us when the next program starts? What does the commitment look like? What are some of the expectations?
Our next program begins on September 13th. It begins with a Zoom call, I think it's an hour and 15 minute. We've changed it, right? Hour and 15 minute Zoom call on a Monday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. That runs for 12 weeks. Every day you receive via WhatsApp, you receive a daily reading and two contemplative journal questions. They're all based on the week's principle, guiding spiritual principle. So let's say the first week's principle is honesty. So every day, and Kathy had said this earlier, you'll receive a daily reading and two contemplative journal questions on honesty. And that will be every day of that first week. The lens through which honesty is talked about in those readings is going to change every day. You know, a Tibetan Buddhist nun, a famous poet, an African elder, a Native American shaman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We also give you a beautiful, lightly guided sound healing track to listen to. So you listen to the meditation, you do the reading, you answer the questions. It's about a 20 to 30 minute practice every day. And then that culminates in a Zoom call the following week where you go on to the next spiritual principle.
And the Zoom call is both us introducing the next principle, but it's meditation, it's practice, it's breath work, it's journaling, it's co-listening, it's feelings and needs. So you're doing all of that every week. And you get a swamp sister, we call it the swamp. Really, we kind of got that from Brené Brown because we felt like when we did that 60-day, you know, sadhana together, that we each hit the swamp at different times and we're stuck in the muck.
And we had to pull each other out of the weeds.
You can do it. Yeah,
so we assign swamp sisters to
It's like week three. Yeah, you get one person, you have to connect with them for 10 minutes minimum each week where you practice that feelings and needs co-listening.
It's so very
working the muscle.
Yeah, exactly. It's very structural.
Incredible. I love it so much. amazing. So we're going to send our audience to your website, belovenow.org. Is there anywhere else we can send them to find more resources, to learn more about you?
We're on social media. We just did a campaign for the month of July.
Soul Sovereignty.
We don't post every day, but we post. And
right. So on Facebook, you can find us at Beloved Now. So it's BELOVEDNOW. On Instagram, it's Beloved Now Tribe.
Underscore tribe.
Yeah. Underscore tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
We'll link to that. And then we also have a link for your discovery call, which will be August 30th.
Mm-hmm. And the reason to come on that is to hear from the grads. So obviously, we're passionate about the program and we live it every day. We do it with the groups. Mm-hmm. We're not just like, oh, this is what we know. And we literally practice every day with you. We put in the WhatsApp that we've done day one and day
two.
We
ask everybody to put in when they finish their day practice, day one done, day two done.
We're right along.
Yeah.
We're doing it. It doesn't get old for us. I mean, we've done it now four times. We just did it again.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to us that it's like, wow, it's still really applicable and pertinent in our lives.
It's really alive and continuing to change. The other thing about the discovery calls is we give everyone an experience of what it would be like to be in the Be Loved Now program. So we'll pray you in, we'll take you through a breath practice, we'll do a meditation, we'll do feelings and needs. You'll hear from the grads. So there's all different things that are going on. We're not going to just try and sell you the program.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that and sharing your experiences and wisdom with us. This is so lovely to chat with you today.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure to be on here with both of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, before we let you run, if we can ask for one final piece of advice, something that people can start doing today to optimize their health, what would that be?
Take 5 minutes, go outside, take your shoes off, sit in the grass, close your eyes and breathe. Be with yourself.
Great.
See what comes up.
Don't judge it.
And don't judge it. Just notice it.
Wonderful. I will definitely be doing that today.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for your time. We are so grateful that you joined us today. And so we are grateful for everyone that tuned in today. We will see you all next week.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Lauren.
Love this episode of the Biohacker Babes podcast? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We truly appreciate your support.
Until then, happy biohacking.
This podcast offers health, fitness, and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional.